Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, a delivery cyclist found not guilty on all charges after a fatal stabbing. We'll hear about George Bento's defence. Paying for your online returns, business journalist Adam Maguire on why some retailers are charging to bring something back. Missing in the Amazon, the latest on the search for two men who vanished in Brazil. How clean is your house? Well, today we'll be finding out how clean it should be with two experts. And also Dr. Maura Finn will be with us later today. She's taking your questions on endometriosis. So if you have any queries about symptoms or treatment, do get in touch now. The number is 51551. You can email todaycb@rte.ie or on Twitter. We're at Today with Claire. President Michael D. Higgins facing controversy this morning over those remarks he made yesterday describing Ireland's housing policy as a disaster. The president was speaking during a visit to addiction charity Tiglin's facility at Jigginstown Manor in Kildare, a centre for homeless young adults. His remarks were greeted with applause and cheers from many of those listening. This is some of what President Higgins had to say.
I have taken as well to speaking ever more frankly in relation to housing, because I think it is our great, great, great failure. It isn't a crisis anymore. It is a disaster. And I think that we have to really think about meeting the basic needs of people in a republic, be about food and shelter and education. And building homes is what is important. It is not to be a star performer for the speculative sector internationally or anything else.
Well, I'm joined firstly on the line by Dr. Sean O'Connell, who is lecturing constitutional law at UCC. Thank you for joining us this morning. Now, at the beginning of that clip, Sean, you'll have heard the president saying that he has taken to speaking ever more frankly in relation to housing. But has he crossed a constitutional line here?
Yeah, good morning. I suppose the issue comes down to what the president's role is and what his constitutional role is. And that's relatively clear in our constitution. So our constitution, predominantly in Articles 12 and 13, tells us what the president's job is. In the main, it's the kind of ceremonial thing we're all familiar with. He has a very important role in signing bills that come before him to make them laws. He's a really interesting power under Article 26, where he can refer to the Supreme Court, and that's his main power. And he also has a power in and around the dissolution of the Dáil if the Taoiseach doesn't support the Dáil. So he has two real powerful functions, but the rest is pretty ceremonial and being there as a head of state and the constitutional figure for the continuation of democracy. But that comes with a few caveats. We've traditionally said, and all his predecessors have pretty much adhered to this, that the president should be above politics because of those really important powers that he exercises, so that he shouldn't really be commenting on, you know, government policy, because he has no power in that area. We have a notion in our constitution called the separation of powers, and the government has the power to make policy, and the president has no role there whatsoever. So as a result, the president is seen to be something of an independent figure, a figurehead, but not someone who should be intervening in these matters. And that's always been a convention that we've had.
It's a convention, but he's not prevented from speaking out anywhere.
No, he's not. And there's no express constitutional provision that says he can't speak out. But what we do see in the constitution is a real delineation of the powers of the president. So very often we hear this expression in the constitution, on the advice of the government or on the advice of the Taoiseach. That basically means the president does what the government says, or the president does what the Taoiseach of the day says. So there's no express provision, but we have a well-established convention that, because of the importance of those two powers in particular I've mentioned, that the president should be above politics and shouldn't get into the day-to-day. And you know, the argument is always, if someone wants to make interventions like this, the place to be is in Dáil Éireann rather than Áras an Uachtaráin.
Mm-hmm. And do you think now that this intervention might set a precedent? I mean, would you expect successors will need to model what they say and their behaviour and their pitch to be president on what we heard yesterday?
And that's the big question. I think it's important to say, I think the president is speaking very much on a very important topic that the vast majority of Irish people, I think, will agree with him. And I suspect the vast majority of TDs and even government ministers will agree with him. But it's the fact that he's saying it and the manner in which he's saying it is what's causing concern. And if that continues into the future, you know, what happens if we have a president in the future who doesn't speak on something that has maybe the universal support or isn't as popular as President Higgins is? That's the question about precedent. And all his predecessors have been very couched in how they've done it. And I'm thinking in particular of President Robinson and President McAleese, who were both absolute experts at this, where they could make their points and get kind of soft power across without crossing the line, where my own feeling is that President Higgins probably has crossed the constitutional line here.
Mm-hmm. And what happens then as a result if the line has been crossed?
Well, that's a whole other question. And there's very little that can happen. But I suppose, you know, we know that there are back channels and there are, you know, regular discussions where the Taoiseach of the day keeps the President updated on the affairs of the state and what's happening within the state. And I'd wonder, would something be mentioned there in a subtle way, saying, you know, you keep to your own lane and we'll keep to our lane. But the government of the day can never criticise the President, you know, and that's another convention that's well established. And the one occasion where it did happen, we saw with President O'Dolly, he ended up resigning because of the fact that the government of the day and Minister Donegan, the Minister of Defence at the time, criticised him for referring the Emergency Powers Bill to the Supreme Court, you know, one of these big powers the President has. And when President O'Dolly was criticised by the government, he said, well, look, I'm supposed to be independent in the exercise of my functions, and I can't stand that the government is criticising me, and he resigned as a result.
This is a thundering disgrace moment.
Yeah, it is indeed.
And are you surprised then to read in the Irish Independent today how annoyed government is? Because you said earlier that you expect that quite a number of TDs, even government TDs, I think you said, and ministers would agree with him. But it seems that many are very angry and upset at this intervention. He's accused of crossing the line, according to anonymous sources in the Indo, and that he is standing on high moral quicksand. I mean, given what you said earlier, Sean, are you surprised that there's such upset in government circles at what he said?
No, I'm not, simply because we have this established convention that the President should be above politics. I think the various people in government have the legitimate expectation that the President would stick to, you know, speak it in much more careful terms, saying, let's have a conversation about this, or let's investigate this, as opposed to his intervention, as he described himself speaking so frankly. That was somewhat surprising. And you know, I know there's been references to some unfortunate marks the President made about the terrible tragedy in Nigeria, and what was he trying to distract from that?
Yeah.
But I think it's more actually just a real element of ministers and government knowing that they can't respond, so expecting the same from the President in the reverse.
So it becomes very serious if a member of the government responds in a critical way to what was said yesterday. Is that where we're at?
Yes, it would. And that would be a serious breach of constitutional protocol and the well-established convention.
OK. Sean, thank you very much for joining us in the programme. That's Dr. Sean O'Connell from UCC. And I'm joined now by Fergus Finlay, columnist with the Irish Examiner and former government advisor, and also Mary Fitzpatrick, Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin Central. You're both very welcome. Thank you for joining us. Mary, when you hear President Higgins saying in the clip that we heard there that he has taken the decision to speak out about this, he wants the public to know that he is frustrated with the slow pace of progress. What do you think when you hear that?
I identify with what I suppose the President said.
You agree with him?
I have been saying it for a long time. I mean, we're coming out of a decade of undersupply of housing. That's the reality, Claire. And myself and the Fianna Fáil party, that is one of the reasons we went into government, so that we could change the housing policy, so we could make it so that the state would take a significant and leading role in the provision of housing, in housing, social housing, affordable housing, and affordable housing, both to purchase and rent, and to get our local authorities back building housing to have.
Sorry,
housing
so charity. You hear the President yesterday and you think he's not criticising Fianna Fáil in government when the Minister for Housing is a Fianna Fáil minister. You think this he's everything he said is directed at Fine Gael. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think Michael D. Higgins has a very long and distinguished political career, and I would imagine that most of it, if we were to examine it, would have been dedicated to being critical of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and probably the Greens. But the President was speaking yesterday as a treasured citizen and somebody, I believe, expressing a real concern that we share. That's why we have put forward a significantly changed housing policy, which actually puts the state front and centre in the provision of housing, and primarily in the first instance, in the provision of housing.
I just hear cognitive dissonance here. I mean, the President has stood up and said that our housing, our situation with housing in this country is a disaster. And you're, as a government TD, saying you're welcoming those comments.
actually, I didn't say welcoming. I said I would identify.
I agree
with them.
Claire.
And Claire, actually, just one clarification. I'm not a TD. I am a senator, and I agree that there we are coming out of a decade of undersupply of housing. That's why we have committed €20 billion by we're using state-owned land.
I know,
by
but you, the fact that you don't see this, you don't see this as a criticism of this government. I just don't get it.
It's
I don't
a criticism. I heard of it as a criticism of housing policy from the past. I didn't take it as a direct criticism of the housing policy.
Sinn Féin's Owen O'Brien said that his comments are a statement of fact and they're a direct criticism of the current and previous governments.
Claire, when I listened to the President, he talked about housing policy. He didn't specifically say housing for all, a policy that has only been introduced since September. He did not say those words. He spoke about housing policy that has been in place for over a decade.
He didn't speak about housing policy in the past tense.
He didn't speak about the fact that we're putting €20 billion into delivering social and affordable housing, that we're increasing housing stock through state intervention, that we're using state-owned land, that we're empowering local authorities, that housing charities like the one he was at yesterday, we're supporting to deliver housing for those who need it most.
Fergus Finlay, to bring you in on this, do you think that the President was criticising the current government's housing policy? Is Fergus Finlay there on the line?
I am. I do. I think he was criticising the current government's housing policy, the last government's housing policy. I think he's been critical of housing policy probably since the 90s, when effectively Ireland stopped building houses and started treating housing as a kind of a commodity. He did say, though, in fairness to him, he did say our national failure. You know, he included himself in the word our. He included the entire system in the word our. Mm-hmm. And not only...
But Mary Fitzpatrick is there as a Fianna Fáil senator who says that she does not see that her party is being criticised here. The current government is not being criticised here. Do you think she's right?
Well, I think she's about as right as Owen O'Brien when he says that the President or implies that the President is supporting Sinn Féin. He's not doing either of those things. He is referring to a deep national failure. And I think it's undeniable. I did want to make a point about his right and entitlement to do this. Sean, I listened with great interest to Sean earlier, and Sean is much more expert in the Constitution than I am. And I don't have it in front of me, but I think there are two things he forgot to mention that the Constitution provides. The first is that it enables the people of Ireland to elect one person and one person only to an office that is accountable to all of us, and that is the President. He is the only office holder in Ireland who's elected by everybody. And he has won that mandate not once but twice. The second thing the Constitution provides is an oath that the President must take. And in the case of our current President, he's taken that oath twice. And that oath obliges him to use his abilities in the service and welfare, I think I'm quoting it correctly, in the service and welfare of the Irish people. And I think that's what he was doing yesterday. He was drawing attention to something that we have got terribly wrong, awfully wrong. I work in this area.
So if you follow that path, are you saying that the office of President is a wholly political one?
No, I think it's above politics, but I think it is entitled and able and obliged every now and again to draw the attention of politics to an area where politics has failed.
Okay. Well, let's take this line, right? If Sinn Féin's Martin McGuinness had won the election to be president and he'd used that platform to talk about a united Ireland, or if the independent candidate Peter Casey, if he'd won and he used it as a platform to talk about lack of investment in Irish business or other issues that were of concern to him, would you be saying the same thing?
Well, I think President Higgins has made some speeches about both of those subjects in the past 10 years and I don't see anything controversial about any of that. I can't see the issue at all, to be honest.
It's very difficult for government now, though, isn't it? Because government cannot respond to this. Because as Sean explained to us earlier, if government tries to defend itself here, it's in breach of this convention not to disagree with the President.
what's the defence, Claire? Is the defence that the president is wrong, he shouldn't have spoken because he's wrong, because actually our housing policy is a thundering success? Like, if a government, if any government minister came on to your programme today, you asked him about the president's comment, I think the government minister would have to say he totally understands the president's frustration.
Well, in fairness, Senator Mary Fitzpatrick is saying that, but it's very difficult for Mary to turn around and criticise the president for what he said, even though I think we all know that it is the current government that is being criticised here.
Well, every citizen is entitled to disagree with the president. Do you know, that's another constitutional right we all have.
But Mary, to come back to you on this. Mary, do you feel that you can criticise the president for what he said yesterday? Do you feel able to do that today?
I suppose I'm able to respond to it. That's why I'm on your radio show. Yes, I'm able to respond to it. And I suppose our response to it has to be to demonstrate the changes that we are making, to demonstrate the changes that we're making to have the state take the lead in the provision of housing, to ensure that state-owned lands are used to deliver social and affordable homes, and to ensure that our local authorities are building homes and housing charities
and
are building
homes. And do you understand
how housing supply is increased and made more affordable?
Can you understand why some of your colleagues are very upset at what he had to say?
Politicians take criticisms all the time, Claire. I think they would take the president's comments seriously. He's the president. He's the first citizen. And of course, they will be taken seriously. But the job of the elected politicians is to actually do the work, to demonstrate the changes that we're making, to demonstrate the fact that we're making the state the big actor and the big player in delivering housing and using the resources of the state, the 20 billion euros, the land that we have available, and the skills and the resources within the local authority.
But he made the point. The point he was making is that the housing is being left to the market, is being left to the speculators. That's a direct criticism of the Housing for All plan. He's suggesting it's
not
pitched,
actually, Claire.
It's
to be fair, you're drawing
investors.
A link. You're drawing a link there, Claire. That the president, you're putting words in the president's mouth. He didn't say that. He didn't say that Housing for All is based on speculators and foreign investors. The president made a commentary on housing policy, as Fergus Finlay said, which Fergus Finlay said and others have read as being a national crisis. It's something that Taoiseach himself said when taking office, that it is the biggest social challenge, the housing challenge. That's why Fianna Fáil looked for the housing ministry. That's why Fianna Fáil is driving the change that we know needs to be made in having the state take the lead in the provision of housing. Affordable housing.
I mean, you're putting words into his mouth, but you're talking about something completely different. You're talking about the housing policy. You're telling us all about it, which is fine.
You mentioned housing
for
all. That's
to go back to what he said, he strongly condemned the speculative nature of the investment in housing, saying that the basic needs of society should never have been left to the marketplace.
Yeah, and that's what I agree with him on that, and that is what Housing for All is doing. It is changing that. It is having it so that the state is the biggest provider of housing. Over the next 10 years, there's a commitment to deliver over 300,000 homes.
Mary Fitzpatrick, in his speech yesterday, I support what the current government is doing. We're on the right track. Hooray for this government.
He never said he did, Claire, and I never said he did.
You are saying that.
I'm not, Fergus, you didn't hear him saying that either.
Claire, look, you're dying for somebody to criticise the president, so let me do it. I will criticise the president. I think he should have done this 5, 6 or 7 years ago. I've been involved in a regeneration programme. We've been chair of a regeneration board for 15 years. We completed phase one 5 years ago. And we have been waiting ever since for phase two to begin. Mm-hmm. And it's not the fault of Dublin City Council. It's not the fault of ministers I meet who tell me money isn't the problem. But somewhere between them, there is this incredible bureaucratic indifference to making progress rapidly. Nobody has any idea of the number of steps of process that local authorities have to go through before they can apply for planning permission.
And I think that's the root of the issue. Can I say I am not dying for somebody to criticise the president? What I'm trying to establish is I'm trying to figure out who he aimed those comments at yesterday. And I think for people to say they were not aimed at the current government is pushing it.
Well, I think they were definitely aimed at current policy. and at this at the failure of policy for the last 15 years.
But Mary, you don't agree with that.
Actually, I agree with what Fergus just said. It's policy over the last 15 years.
But not policy now. You do not accept.
This is the crucial
point. You do not accept that it's aimed at current policy.
If I can finish, I would say that his comments were critical of housing policy over the last 15 years. If those comments do not reflect policy that has only been introduced last September, which has changed the role of the state, the effects of which are going to take time over the next year, 10 years Housing for All will run for, hopefully, and deliver over 300,000 homes, with the state being the biggest provider of housing, the biggest social housing programme in the history of the state, the biggest affordable housing programme in the history of the state, for the first time using state-owned land and empowering the local authorities.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you both for joining us. Mary Fitzpatrick, Fianna Fáil Senator, and Fergus Finlay, who's a columnist with the Irish Examiner. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.